Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Because Cannabis podcast. Brand new episodes every single Wednesday, 4:20 p.m. on YouTube. Thursdays on Spotify with video and anywhere that you listen to your audio podcast. You know what I just realized right before we hit record on another fantastic episode? You're welcome, everyone. On the show, Dustin, we're struggling here, right? We're putting out these shows. We're like looking for folks like you to hit subscribe, to tell your friends about the show. We produce all of this amazing cannabis content every single week for you. I get paid to do this. Not yet, but we will take that money. But right now, we're looking for your help. Hit subscribe and share with other folks. You know, I just realized before we hit record, Dustin, is had we put together a show where we just put together a bunch of stoners smoking weed and cut it up into 30-second shorts, we'd probably be retired right now, living in the Bahamas, smoking our own weed, laughing about people making weed fails. There hasn't been a new YouTube weed fails in about 2 years. It's about a good cycle. We're good for another one. In the comments below, would you watch us more if we just put other people doing stupid shit? Yes. Would you watch us more, Dustin, if we had other people doing stupid shit?
No.
You come for the thrilling, educational, inspirational, motivational, and all the other old content, don't you?
Yeah. I definitely come here for the education.
I think you know what we're lacking? Maybe we would get some prestige on our name, some respect where it belongs every Wednesday 4:20 on YouTube if we won something big. You know, we were in like Flow Hub's like 19th best rated, easy for me to say today, 19th best rated cannabis podcast. You know, that's something. We need something bigger. I think like the Webbies or some other, what's the biggest award right now that you think we could earn in podcasting that would tell people, yo's, we's for reals?
Biggest or most prestigious?
Let's most prestigious. Like, I'm not all about ballot stuff. And look, you can win a lot of things today with bots and hiring Russians to do your chat hacking for you. I get that. We could get our subscriber base and our clip base up really high if we spend about $25 a month, probably hire some AI or some 17-year-old kid from the Ukraine. We could be leading YouTube in views. Why aren't we doing that? We should probably do that.
I don't know.
I'm talking prestige. I want people to say, Dustin and BC, Wayward Media, the Because Cannabis podcast, they put out legitimate, educational, informational, and enjoyable cannabis podcast. Like, what are we going to get? What can we put on the wall right behind us? What plaque can I frame to go right in this background that says, damn, those boys made it?
I say we submit one of our episodes to for the Pulitzer Prize for audio reporting. I think
there's no Pulitzer Prize. Wait, isn't that like for like scientists that like smash atoms and shit?
No, actually, it's the exact opposite. But I will say that here's the thing. I forget who the original Joseph Pulitzer is, his fucking name. And God, if I remember correctly, this guy was like the like creator of gray news, yellow news. You know, like he was the type to be like, Sydney Vodka got divorced last weekend type of news.
A little slander. He was putting out like a TMZ before TMZ kind of vibe. Like
somehow after he died or after he retired, he started creating the Pulitzer Prize for world renowned, you know, reporting. And now there's like 13 different Pulitzer Prizes you can win. And one is for audio reporting. I think the first one came out like 3 or 4 years ago.
So we need like an investigative series. We need like a true crime investigative journal. There's a great one called The Emerald Triangle. Shout out to, I don't remember which media company did. It talks about this kind of murder mystery that happened in the, I think the teens over in Humboldt County, kind of in that part. It's a pretty interesting little story. That's what we need. We need to do some investigative journalism about something that really like gets folks. What can we dig deep into? What truths can we unveil that people are going to say, I'm paying attention?
Oh man, I don't know. I would love to expose someone.
I'd love someone to expose. You want to expose yourself to someone? Cut that clip up, non-producer. Put that on there. I feel it. Maybe I'm just a little wound up today, Dustin. I watched The Big Short from 2015, the Adam McKay movie, Christian Bale, Ryan Gosling, Brad Pitt, and of course, Steve Carell. based on a true story about the 2008 financial crisis. By the way, shout out to our friends at Redpoint. They put out a great documentary series called The Con about that same thing, particularly how it affected folks in Youngstown, Ohio. And if you look super closely in episode one, you're going to see the handsome profile of your boy right here, background acting, not reenactment acting, about all the trauma my wife went through when she signed this bad mortgage contract in 2008. But The Big Short kind of tells the tale of the folks who kind of saw it coming before it came. Cut that clip out. It tells the tale of things that people saw something happening, and everyone was like, no, stop, right? If you're not familiar with it, I'll do a quick, succinct recap. Basically, about 4 or 5 years before the 2008 financial crisis, which was kind of built upon a lot of shady dealings in the mortgage business. I cannot explain it well. The movie does. It even does a great job of breaking fourth wall and bringing Margot Robbie, Selena Gomez, Anthony Bourdain, RIP, in to like explain it in normal vernacular. Really cute way that it's designed. A lot of fourth wall breaking from Ryan Gosling during the show is his role. But there's these folks, and different sects of them saw this crisis coming. And so in part of this, they played it to their financial advantage. They bet against the system, which was the housing market and the bonds and such. And so these things that people thought was strong and could not be broken. And when I'm watching that movie last night, Dustin, because I'm a bit, you know, vain, and I put myself in the hero's role always, I'm watching it, and all I could think of was, that's us. We are like that. I don't know which one, whether they're the more autistic, Christian Bale role. We're
the two Michael young Burry.
Kids. Yeah, Michael Burry. I think we're probably the two young kids who don't really know much, even though we're old, grizzled veterans trying to make their way. Here's what I kept hearing the whole time. And they're talking about it, and everyone's saying, you're crazy. The housing market is so stable. It cannot bust. It feels like talking to people in the cannabis industry about what the future of this industry is, about looking at the numbers of the upcoming products and who's consuming them, about how we're living right now and what the world is right now in the marketing ideas that you use, in the products ideas that you use, and the way you sell cannabis to consumers or to patients, it doesn't matter, is still the same way they were doing it when our buddies Andrew and Steve D'Angelo got Harborside opened in the early aughts in California. It's still the same process. Some of it is because it goes state by state and states refuse to learn from each other, so there is no federally regulated rules. But I feel like both on this show every single Wednesday at 4:20 p.m. and Thursdays on Spotify with video and anywhere you listen to audio podcasts, we talk about these things that are happening, are going to happen in the industry. But when you present them to people currently now, big wigs, CEOs, suit and tie wearers, hair all back, when you talk to them now, they're like, oh, well, no, we're kind. It's, people want to smoke on terpenes and cannabinoids. And I believe that there is a spot and there is a small niche audience that wants to have that, Dustin. But I'm telling you right now, the mass consumers, the people that are going to pay your bills and smoke your weed, they don't give a fuck about terpenes or cannabinoids or anything else. Hot take. What do you think?
I mean, it's hot, all right. I think
smoking.
I think that there's always going to be a market for people who do care, but that's not the majority. And if you're trying to cast your web out there as a cannabis company to account for the most people, you're probably not going to care about that shit. I mean, so what does that mean? What is it? Price? Convenience? What matters?
Yes, those two right there. That's the top two. And it's not, and here's the fine line, because you can do this as a company and care, right? You can have care in the best intentions behind it. But I think cannabis companies feel guilty or feel bad, or they go all in and just don't care. There's a fine line. People are struggling to walk that mass consumerism and appreciation of the plant, right? It feels like you have to be all in on the plant and the people, or just all in on the money. And you can't have nuance in scale. And I think that's the issue. When you scale, we hear scalability, that's a big buzzword in the entrepreneurial sections of folks. When you scale, you lose connection, right? When you scale, when it's you at your store, You built it. Blood, sweat, and tears. And you're at the counter. And you're like, hey, buddy, here's that transaction, right? That's you. It's your smoke shop days, Dustin, having a transaction. Hey, how's it going? And you have this water pipe, the Bovac thing. I don't know. You've talked about it many times on the show. Go watch past episodes, Dustin's Pipe Journeys. It's an awesome product. I'm just terrible with names of it. When you sell a first one, it's like, hey, Dustin made it. Years down the road, when someone buys it and has no connection to you, you lose connection to them. But and I think cannabis people are afraid of that.
Fuck, dude. I mean, what the fuck do you care about connection if it's based on price and convenience? There really isn't a need for connection in any case under there. You just got to fucking out undercut your competitors. I mean, it's a pretty simple rule of thumb.
Is connection just a good branding messaging then where you act, not act, because it can be sincere.
In the power of the story. I really do believe that there is an importance of the story behind the brand. But I don't necessarily think you tell the story to account for 70% of your market base. I think that there are social mavens in your base, that 2%, the 5% that end up selling the story for you and accounting for that convenience and price factor or other things that the how to move you up on a list when you're looking at five convenient companies and five similar price products. I do think at that point a story can drive home the importance of certain things. But no, I mean, I there is an importance to it, but what's the effect? 3% extra in sales from your social mavens? I mean, I think I would rather pay my employees. I think that there are more important things to focus on, and those things are going to provide more sustainability than some of the other fucking marketing tactics we use today in cannabis.
Do you think cannabis people are worried about non-cannabis products being sold? By non-cannabis products being sold, the things we've talked about before, the Delta 8s, the THCAs, and that. Do you think people in the THC business, the legal THC business, the above 0.3% D9 THC business, who make up billions of dollars, some of them, do you think they are worried as a whole about the future? Not just what's today. Some states are trying to outlaw, you know, legal cannabinoids, as we'll call them. Do you think some of these big CEOs and stuff like that are worried about those types of companies?
I think that they are on a high horse. So I have a hard time believing that most of these companies are like, oh, the hemp derivative market's going to fuck us up. But at the same point, they are filling an incredible niche right now. They are accounting for the 16 to 21 year old people who are buying shit, which is a market that, you know, medical and adult use usually can't hit. It's usually 21 and older. And there really isn't that type of law state for hemp-derived things in a lot of places. I also think that it's an access thing. So, you know, hemp-derived is popular partially because it's so saturated. You can get it anywhere within a 4 mile or 5 mile radius of you, and almost everywhere in Ohio. And you're muted. Oh, wait, there you are. No, you're not. You just
need to go. Sorry, but you don't need to go 4 or 5 miles anymore, Dustin. Yeah. Hold on. Beyond that, I checked my mail 2 days ago. I've been saving for this for 2 days. I checked my mail 2 days ago. So, a little backstory. I'm on the disc golf course, as someone should be, anytime it's warm in your area. I'm on the disc golf course. There is some partaking that happens on the disc golf course. Those two things go hand in hand, and I'm on the course. I was packing, but my boy was too. So he's like, hey, I got something. You want to try it? I'm like, sure. Smoke it if you got it. Didn't tell me much about it, right? Just said, hey, I picked it up. Good stuff. I'm like, cool. Pretty good stuff. It was a little light, and I don't know how to define that, but I think you know, and you know, and you know. I think you know what I mean, right? When I say it's a little light, but it did the job, right? I felt a euphoric effect. I definitely felt a little high. I said, hey, is this like D8 flower or something like that? I could tell, right? I could tell it wasn't THC. But it had a good efficacy, whatever you want to call it. I was feeling good, right? I was feeling good, feeling that, you know, I was like, where'd you pick it up? You know how I am. I like my good growers. We like Reverb Wellness, Sugar and Valley Hemp Company, Organic Plus Brands. You know, we like some hot hemp We like the folks who are doing it right, right? Growing locally. So it's, you know, but we avoid, you know, kind of that gas station overseas stuff. So he told me the name of it. And I had only had a little bit of understanding of this brand. I was like, oh, I think I've heard about them. Maybe I saw a Facebook post. I checked my mail 2 days ago, Dustin. You know how it's like Wednesday and it's the day where you get all the ads for like grocery stores and those things. And pizza places put out their ads. Look at what flyer. If you're watching on screen right now, if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify.
Oh, man.
This flyer is in my mail.
Dude, like, and they've been getting around. Mood is getting...
So Mood is who we're talking about.
I am not surprised that you got a... I am surprised you got a mailer because that's really ballsy. But at the same point, man, I'm seeing them on places where I've never been able to advertise with clients. And I don't know how the fuck they're doing it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. If you're looking, if you're not watching on video, we have the advertisement of flyer. You know, it's kind of like a standard flyer there, maybe like an 11 by 8 kind of size, 12 by 8. It's got Mood. It's got pictures of Bud. Where's that here? Reverse mirror. You know, pictures of Bud right here. Just big, beautiful buds. 100% legal THC. So right there, you see that. Let me get my finger here. No medical card required. So you're looking in that. I'm not going to show you the back because it's got my address on it. We're going to show you this part right here on there. So you got this part right here, you know, which has kind of like the products. You got yummy treats and pre-rolls and flour and edibles and all that stuff. So I want to bring up the Mood website, Dustin. So you tell me a little bit. I was not as familiar with them. I did a little bit of a dive since then as we prepared for our show today. How do you know or what do you know of Mood?
I mean, I've been interested when I'd seen their ads on things like Facebook, Instagram, Google Ads, and they've been successfully advertising there for months and months now. And, you know, I clicked it to see what the fuck, you know, like where, how, and what, but it's so ambiguous. I think that the legal weed connotation, that type of definition is like really, really obtuse, and really there's something wrong with me with it. And I can understand why people who are spending millions of dollars in the regulated market on licensing and going through like Ohio's Board of Pharmacy's advertising restrictions and all this other stuff can get kind of pissy about this.
We're looking at the Mood website, hellomood.co. We'll give them a shout out. I don't know. Maybe they'll advertise with us. I'd advertise their 100% legal THC weed. You know, maybe not. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm really torn. So here's their article where they talk about, is it legal? Everything you need to know about our 100% legal. They say that a lot on this website. They have an attorney. I don't know who Rod Kite is, but they got him to write a letter on there. So here we go. The majority of flower in vape cartridges use, and this is part of the key phrase here, hemp-derived THCA, right? And so it's the THCA, it's the tetrahydrocannabinolic acid, not the actual tetrahydrocannabinol. And so when you get your flower, it's full of THCA. When you light it, smoke it like you got it, it combusts. We got smarter shows, smarter folks with us in past episodes. Be sure to check them out. When you combust the THCA, boom, it converts to THC. You have your cannabis consumption. In fact, in Ohio, you're allowed to sell a THC cap, which is post, you know, combustion of a certain number, but your THCA can go beyond that. But that's cannabis-derived THCA. You know, thanks to the 2018 Farm Bill, we've talked a lot about the 0.3% number on the show. Be sure to check out those past episodes. You're able to sell it, but it's always been where you mentioned some smoke shops, some gas stations, even some of the, you know, grocery stores, they sell the CBD, maybe they get into the CBG. But this right here, the all in, basically in your face of the government, just talking about how this is legal. This is what makes it legal. This is working with the Department of Agriculture, but it gets you high. Now, there's some states they can't sell to. There's like, I think like Oregon, Alaska, or Washington.
Washington, yep.
Here's the states. Look at these states, by the way. OGs of cannabis. Colorado says, don't send me your stuff. Idaho just doesn't want any cannabis at all. Same with Dakotas. But you have states like Oregon, Washington, and Colorado, three of the OG cannabis states who don't allow Mood to ship to them. Obviously, Ohio is going to be one of those states for now. But I was pretty shocked a little bit about this whole world, about learning about Mood and the brazenness of it, right? They're just all in, man.
I don't know. Okay, so I have an issue with the way it's advertised, and I really hate these, you know. I remember when Ohio went adult use, and prior to it, there was a bunch of stores popping up in Parma and all these other places that were like, hemp dispensary or cannabis dispensary, but it was really a pure hemp and hemp-derived stuff. It is so ambiguous, and no one is educating at the smoke shop level. Not one person is describing the difference in it. They are selling it as that is on the package, and that's fine because it's legal to sell it as the package states, but I think that there should absolutely be some type of fucking explanation on how is it processed, how are we reintroducing it to the flower, how is this working, how you know, like, how exactly this stuff is made. And I don't know, man. I think that there's going to be a big push federally to kind of reschedule some of these hemp-derived cannabinoids, these other things that are not THC.
Yeah, I think it's going to catch up with them. They're going to make a little bank in the meantime. You know, it's funny when you're talking, what you're mentioning there about the smoke shops not educating, just selling it. You basically answered the question that we introduced the show with about why are people consuming cannabis and people worrying about flavonoids and terpenoids, and people are shopping by convenience and price. You know, it's the same concept. Here's where we're going to lose our sponsorship. Dustin, we had our Mood sponsorship coming. I even gave out the website. You can go right now to hellomood.co, click on the About section. Look at these people who care zero about you and your weed and your consumption. They care about their wallets. I'm so sorry. But look, I got Jake and David. Jake seems to be based off the backstory that they wrote. Customer connection sometimes is just made in the bio that they wrote on. Jake's the OG, the cannabis guy who ran into David, who's a David looks like a multi. David looks like someone who'd be on The Bachelor as a multi-time entrepreneur, right? That is exactly what that photo. I'm sure David Charles, who's never going to talk to us ever again, is a sweet dude. David, you want to be on the show? We'll hear all about you and Jake. Say, look at that big smile on Jake there. So they co-founded, basically got together, said, hey, you got the skills to pay the bills. I got the skills to grow the bills, so to speak, and put themselves together. But, you know, the leadership team, I don't know. It looks like it could be AI generated, I guess is what I want to say. It looks like it possibly could be AI generated as far as who wants to run a young, cool, hip cannabis company.
Well, I will speak out for them and say that.
Get that sponsorship money back.
I just think that average cannabis consumer does look like that in a lot of ways.
It does look like that's fair point.
And I think that we're finally in a market that's saturated enough that we're not getting that legacy look anymore. We really do have business expertise entering into the market who don't even give a damn that they're actually selling cannabis or hemp derived anything. They just are. I love building businesses. This is what I'm good at. I'm good at procuring the $2 million advertising deal for postcards we're going to mail out. We're getting around Facebook's ads, as opposed to I love this product and I think it's going to absolutely help our fellow man and make such a profound impact on our customers. I'm not necessarily.
They're selling with the help of the United States Post Office, right? You know, one of the things, if you have to like mail weed, they always say, well, they say use the USPS because they don't check as much as like UPS and FedEx. But with the USPS.
I'm not condoning that.
Don't do that. Or do, I don't care. Well, if you do, tell us so we can get you that t-shirt. The offer still stands. They're doing it with the help of the United States government, like putting it in my mailbox. It's one thing to hear about it on Facebook, and you probably get more reach on Facebook, but I'm impressed. I just am impressed that it showed up in my mailbox. Though I think, you know, and it's funny because I was talking about it with someone else who assumed, they honestly assumed because they didn't know that was like real cannabis, right? They said it's legal in Ohio. That's why they assumed that started showing up. And I went, And that's where I get upset sometimes with false advertising, with people saying things that, you know, are kind of true, but not exactly true in that way. And so, which kind of made me think about this article I just read. Someone sent this to me, actually. Someone sent it to me and went, bro, got to get to Dayton. I'm like, oh, okay. I got to go like Dayton, Ohio. They got some great places down there. Because Dayton has this. If you're looking at the headline, this is from the Dayton Daily News. We'll have a link in the comments below. Dayton Daily News. Ohio's first infused coffee shop lounge opens in Dayton. A bit wordy, by the way. And since I'm going to blast the writer of this article anyway, let me get this out of the way. I'm pretty sure when this article went live, this is just me. Maybe this is my investigative journalism piece. Give me that Pulitzer Prize, people ready to go. I'm pretty sure when this article first opened, it said Ohio's first cannabis coffee shop lounge. I feel like coffee shop and lounge are redundant. Opening up together at the same time. So there's an article that talks about this right here. So just you see this headline, Dustin. You see the headline. What do you think before I go down and tell you what's about to happen?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we're back into the hemp-derived infusions. I mean, we are not. Obviously, Ohio hasn't opened up lounges. Or else we'd be hearing the bigger names trying to enter into the market and find a place for it. Clearly, and I, you know, this is not new. I can't even believe that they say Ohio's first, because I've known plenty of smoke shops that have been inserting D8 into drinks on the spot there. So it's just, I know that I'm so tired of being able to get press releases with this type of fervor when it's, again, it's gray marketing. It's so weird to that they're not assuming, or that they're stating things in such a weird way that they get to pull this shit off. And here's the thing. I don't mind hemp-derived anything. I think it has a place. I think when you actually state it properly, it's fine. You know, and I know plenty of good infusion things, like go to sipblossombar.com. That is a good friend of our Dr. Bridget. She has a thing that she sets up called the Blossom Bar, where you can hire her to come into your event and they will make infused mocktails. A lot of them have hemp derived, you know, things in it, but they also are adding additional adaptogens like mushrooms and other things that are non-psychoactive to help infuse and enhance the experience. And I think that there obviously is a place for that. I think it's not a bad thing. It's when you are a normal tea company and somehow you're getting major press for being the first of something, when it's just like, it's not the first of really anything. All you're doing is dumping in Delta 8 powder.
When you take a deep dive, and by deep dive, I mean about a 6-word Google search of this story. And I'm going to show you the whole article in a second, but I just want to tell you my investigative journalism, Pulitzer, went deep dive, a Google displace. Within minutes, it was proven that it is basically a smoke shop with a couple chairs putting D8 powder into beverages on the spot. That's all they're doing. That's all it is. This is a known smoke shop in the area. They've been doing this already, but I think they got in trouble for it. But here's what my biggest issue is, right? So we'll read the article. I want to do a quick overview of the article here. So it talks about the Teapot Cafe Lounge in Dayton, Ohio, Ohio's first infused coffee shop lounge, which, as we know, is not necessarily true because they've already been happening, brings the West Coast coffee vibe to the Midwest. And this is nothing against the owners, nothing against Cortland Curran. I'm sure it's a cool place to be there. But they are doing what you're thinking, putting from 8, by the way, to 66 milligrams. Son, slow down. 8 to 66 milligrams into drinks. They're calling them, look, they have, here's where we start to get confusing.
Yes.
Look at what this says. Cannabis derived extract. It is not, say, hemp derived, which it is. It has to be, because otherwise they couldn't run and open this and put an article on there. So this right here bothers me because it says no cannabis. Now look, so far we have infused, we have cannabis derived extract, we have guests must choose the strain and dosage of cannabis when ordering, including popular names like our 2023 Leafly Permanent Marker Strain of the Year episode. Check that one out with senior editor David Downs. That was a great episode for us. Episode. We got to showcase to the world. Dustin, the Permanent Marker is legit, by the way. Let me just put it. If you have not had it, shout out to Clutch, by the way. I know we don't always name our big boys, but Clutch grew some killer Permanent Marker in this area. So you will get a buzz Do you imagine back in the smoke shop day, this being like, hey, you're going to get a buzz off this. You know how carefully you had to tiptoe around euphoric feeling?
I mean,
of the plant? She's saying,
the first 4 years of my smoke shop, we mentioned passion flower is what you should really smoke out of the damn thing. You know, like tiptoe wasn't even a thing. We were in a whole nother genius of plants to try to be like, we couldn't even say tobacco. That accounted for a totally different license.
No, that's
it
messed up.
It was like passion flower.
So they talk about the size. They go up to 50 milligrams. They got this other drink called the Double Dragon. That sounds like my way there. They're even saying here, this is what I found was a weird line. The Double Dragon produces a hangover feel that people are going to feel the next day. Bro. I don't know why I'm saying bro a lot today.
I don't know, man.
I had a lot of this in my life, and I don't know if this is the vibe that you're going for. This, to me, says there's something wrong in this product that I'm going to get a hangover. All right, so here we go. Respect to cannabis, right? The effects and all of that. Sure. So here's where I knew that it's a hemp-derived product because they're working with the ODA, the Ohio Department of Agriculture, who doesn't oversee. That's the division, formerly the the marijuana revenue, whatever it's called. Now it's the Division of Cannabis Control. It runs the program. So they're working with the Ohio Department of Agriculture to open, which means they're dealing with hemp-derived. Hold on, we keep going here. Supporting tribes through cannabis. Now, you know, shout out to Natalie, the writer of this article. We talk about some of the Jamaican roots of the owners. That's awesome. Where they make cannabis-infused ganja tea in Jamaica. So they're relating what they're using it. People use cannabis in Jamaica for different purposes. Like, they're selling all that. They have their partner comes from a Columbus-based distributor. I learned that. They talk about the testing and the heavy metals. We learned that. There is time and time again in this article, it talks about how you get cannabis, consume cannabis, all the things with cannabis. Not one time, other than, and this isn't even doing it, but the infused part, not one mention in this entire article about the agricultural farm bill.
It's such a problem.
Not one time do they say it.
Dude, it bothers me so fucking bad because there are legitimate use cases for cannabis when it comes to wellness. And we are fucking that shit up with this goddamn derivative talk, this ambiguity where I do not want my 90-year-old grandmother testing and trying things in this manner when I know that there is an infinitely better source out there to at least allow them to experiment with. I just don't know how I'm really bothered by this. And I'm bothered by what a prominent news source felt absolutely no need to fucking to explain themselves. Nor if we talk about actual journalism and what it takes to do things right, they have missed the mark entirely on this article.
Fire with so many hot takes right now, people. It's starting to annoy us. I think that's the truth. I'm starting to get.
So let me ask you a question then.
No.
You're annoyed. I'm annoyed. You know, and that's good because we don't really matter.
We matter, Dustin.
Do you think that anyone is scared of them, scared of this market in any way? And if so, why or why not?
The person who sent me that article was someone that works in the cannabis industry. And so I think they were just more surprised at how they got around it. And, you know, once again, they read a headline. I'm positive that headline said cannabis. They read a headline and said, okay, you see that, right? Which is what a lot of people do. We know this, right? So once again, a quick, and by quick, I mean a two-minute Google search led me to a couple threads on the internet, which was clearly found out with the truth of what it is. I showed someone else, I was talking about this mood pamphlet that I got in the mail to a different cannabis person. I was at this cannabis conference, this little get-together. I saw our boy Anthony Trav there. This little get-together, and I brought this thing with me because I had just gotten it that day in the mail. So it was in my car. And so I'm in there. I'm the nerd that's in there saying, are you guys worried about this? A couple of friends of ours, Reverb Wellness, they didn't think anything about it. Several of the license holders, or at least people who work at the license holders, and these are all managerial level positions, went, eh, that's all right. People don't like that because they know it's not real weed. And yet here we started the show with people shop off convenience and price. So do I think some folks are worried about it, or most? No, I don't think most folks think anything about the hemp derived. I think they would like to, you know, make it illegal or harder to sell because it would sell them some more money. But I think they look at it similar to home grow, at least the smart ones. It's there. It's not going to really cut into your profit. I don't know, because I think if it remains unregulated, and a lot of this will happen with regulations, if the laws step in, and by the way, if it does get regulated, conspiracy theory, soil hat time here, it's clearly from cannabis lawmakers, cannabis people who want to make this outlaw. There's no other company or group of folks who have a better incentive to illegalize this than cannabis cultivators and large MSO companies, Curaleafs and those folks. I don't think they're worried about it because they think, and this is where this misplacement happens, you spend all your time at cannabis conventions and cannabis things where you get a few thousand folks who are hardcore evangelists of your product, and they want to talk. They're everyday consumers, and they consume a variety of products, and they're so used to it, and they get it. It's those, we talk about all these folks in every type of sport, of hobby, of niche subset of people. It happens in wine. It happens in electronics. It happens in podcasting. It happens in everything. There's always a smaller subset of people who know every little thing about every little thing and nerd out about it. And you get to this echo chamber of sorts, and that's all you talk about. And so you start to think that's all anyone's really listening and caring for. But then you go out and you talk to everyday consumers. You talk to my friends who bought this and said, bro, I'm never going back. Like, I don't need a car. This stuff's getting me high. I'm good. Of course, I took a moment to say, well, you could get really great weed. But they're like, yeah, not delivered to my mail tomorrow. Point. You could get. So okay, it's so not the cheapest. Well, I don't think they're worried. That? But they should, I mean, they
is, there, should a, is be. There a place in this market or this industry for hemp derived if access to normal cannabis products is prevalent, if the barrier to entry to grow and barrier to entry to sell was absolutely removed, I don't think a smoke shop would prefer to sell Delta 8 over Delta
absolutely
9.
Not. You know what I mean? If you go right now and buy a clutch permanent marker in the mail, that would sell, and this company would be out of business. I feel strong. Like all those, every smoke shop, Target, Walmart, every place that's selling non-THC would totally sell the other stuff. It's like the gas stations that sell the 40% liquor when they can't sell the 80% because that takes a different license. But you know what happens? A lot of people buy that liquor. They just do. You know why? Because you drink enough of it, you're going to get drunk. And so you know why? A lot of what this is going to be, it's going to, where this market is going to live is the rural in the uneducated. I mean that in the nicest way, even though it sounds terrible, of course. But you know what I mean? It's going to live with those folks who buy cheaper stuff, consume more because it's just easier access, right? You're always going to have those folks that look like the mood places, the people that look like, you know, we're going to get into buying the high stuff, the quality stuff. But 100% no. If people had the choice, they would buy the good stuff. People at the gas station would prefer.
All the bad advertisement in the industry is coming from. Any governor who says, oh, the black market is doing this, or look at what's happening on our street corners, blah, blah, blah. They are discussing this. I mean, like, they are mixing it up, not a normal.
Kansas, step aside. I got two governors. You want to talk about governors? I'm going to talk to you about two governorships, Dustin, that are using this. So funny you mentioned that because you didn't even know what I was going to talk about. Using this very messaging, right? We have Kansas. And then we have the governor, what is his name, Youngkin over there, of Virginia. Both Kansas and Virginia are coming out the gate denying rights. Kansas is one of those holdover states. They got no programs, right? At least Virginia has a CBD-type program. But Kansas, Idaho, Nebraska, nothing. And so they were trying to put it on the bill. They've been trying to get it on the ballot initiative, on the legislative topics again and again and again. It keeps coming up, and it keeps shutting down. Look at, here we go. Too much. It's legal in 24 states as adult use and 40 states medicinal, but they have Kansas lawmakers who are saying that it's too much and it's going to, hold on, here we go, organized crime, like the Punisher is going to have to come in and take out the illegal drug cartels of all the weed that they're going from this point forward. So you have that happening in Kansas, and let me just transition to this and then we'll get your thoughts because they're very similar in nature in what they're talking about. Virginia, which once again has Maryland, has legal cannabis. You know, we see states like Ohio, even Florida. That's not part of the show today, but Florida's been talking about it. You know, they've been holding on. They're very conservative, holding on. But you also have that saying, you know, the governor coming out basically and saying, no, they don't want it. I think it's bad for the people, vetoing the legislation. He clearly says it's bad for Virginia. Here we go. Here we go. Systematic increase in violent crime. So Dustin Cava, in Virginia, in Kansas,
beating people from man. I'm so, what a crock of shit. What a crock of fucking reefer madness bullshit. And here's the thing. Every one of those motherfucking governors are going to invest in cannabis. I guarantee you one of them will own a
all the time
lab or have a 20% share in an MSO within that state or some other bullshit. And again, dude, I don't even know anybody. I don't know a single fucking person for me to go get black market weed anymore. It's been fucking 7 years as a patient. I don't have black market boys anymore.
You know, like, what? I don't either. I actually just lost touch with my dude recently.
Can I get some, you know, shit? I was like, I don't know. Fucking drive to Michigan, you idiot. Like, why the fuck are you, like, who the fuck is going to organize crime for this?
I texted someone a Groupon link, and there's a Groupon link that you can get your recommendation, your first recommendation from a doctor for $65, and then it cost a penny. So I texted him a link, and I said, for $65.01, you can buy all the weed you want, right?
Yeah,
try exactly. Spain, boy. Like, so, that's what I saw. Yeah, that's how I sent him a Groupon link. That's all it is. How do I buy weed? Groupon. $65, one penny to the state. Go buy all you want at the 120 dispensaries across the state. There is super great deals all the time. I bought $50 halves recently of high end.
I just bought
product. Because it's smalls. Yeah. I was in a store the other day, had 649 SKUs. So how do you buy legal weed? It's pay $65 to the state. Drive to Michigan. Wait till September. You're going to have all you want. Like, you have these folks in states like Nebraska and Virginia who are doing the organized crime. No one's buying weed from organized crime. The dudes on the street, the black market still exists, but they're struggling too because it's harder and harder.
And if I was black market, dude, all I would do is go buy hemp derived. And
yes,
fucking sell that. Why the fuck would I take a legal chance?
But you can't
on
do that
anything.
In Kansas. You can do that in Virginia, though. You have that. You can't do it in Kansas, though. Good shout out to Kansas. You know what? We need more people, Dustin. You know we need more people to be like these folks in Missouri. I got a shout out to the Missouri folks. Missouri did $1 billion first year in weed. Iowa, one of those holdoffs that's not doing it. So this company's putting all these advertisements and making all the Iowonians. I'm terrible at naming these people that live in states. The Iowonians is what I'll call them. The Desmonians, making them mad because they're putting big billboards up in their city that say, bro, less than an hour and a half, you can buy some legal weed. Like, they're totally rubbing it in the government of Iowa's face by putting it up there saying, there you go. Come on out. You can buy all the cannabis you want. That's how you go buy cannabis, right? You live in Des Moines. You're all annoyed. You want to go buy some weed. Just drive an hour and you can go buy all the cannabis.
My favorite billboard. Thinking ball. About billboards right now, man. My favorite. Did you see this? Detroit's going after Tampa Bay with during the Super Bowl and shit like that. You know,
hold
during
on.
Where they're calling out other states, being like Tampa Bay smokes mids.
You have real weed.
Tampa Bay smokes have. That is my favorite, dude. That is when I'm like.
That's what I'm talking
money
about.
Well spent.
That is money well spent. I was gonna say I thought Good Day Farms had money well spent. Like, that's a funny advertisement to me to toss that out there. Hey, we should do some positive legal news before we end the show. If the U.S. can't get it right, I don't know if they got it right. I got to tell you, this article might have some of the most fake hubbub that I've ever seen. We know that Uruguay in 2013 legalized cannabis. We know in 2018 Canada legalized cannabis. I open up all these articles that say Germany legalizes cannabis. I need a sound bar. Stop, teed up. No, they did not. They became like a lot of other places and essentially decriminalized possession of it and made it so you can, you know, have it, get it from other places. They're working towards licensing and sales, but they didn't go all in. And so I don't know. I mean, maybe it's tough times over here in Germany. So Germany did become the third kind of European country after Malta and Luxembourg to basically legalize cannabis, decriminalize cannabis. You can possess it up to 25 grams. You can get an ounce possessed there. You can grow it into there. Always, you can't smoke in front of schools or playgrounds. Always taking the fun away. Nothing better than smoking a joint in front of the playground, kids.
Well, I wonder how that works in a city when there's a school every other block, you know? Like, it's so condensed and
saturated. According to everyone, New York smells like weed all day long, and there's schools all over the place for there. They're going to have cannabis clubs, or you can basically trade it. You're allowed to trade. You're allowed to do it. They're not really having legalized sales yet, but they're going to have, like, you know, all but legalized. But to me, it feels like you're going to basically never have legalized sales if you're doing all but. Like, if you can do farmers markets and those things, why would you even worry about the other part? But shout out to Germany for making it happen. No other country, though, since 2018. Think about that.
I am surprised.
It was 5 years from 13 from Uruguay, which was tiny, to Canada. Canada's a big country, though. Why do you think no other country has officially pulled the whole curtain down on cannabis after Canada? It's been 8 years now, right? 8 years. No, 6 years. I'm
turning. I don't know, man. I think it's expensive for a country to write the legislation and put the policy into effect and enforce it. I also think that it's not surprising when you look at some of these countries that have, it's not like it's been great. I mean, Canada had to destroy 25% of its supply last year.
All these companies, are, you know, Aurora Nordic and Canopy Growth went up, and they've all fallen since then. The Canadian stock markets had a lot of troubles.
Because every single person overestimates the saturation and the amount of money it's going to make. Because you got to sell it balls to the walls. I mean, you're not going to your investor saying, we could make between $5 and $50 million. They're like, we're going to make $50 million. We're doing it straight to the top of Everest. We are blazing our trail. $100 million, man.
We should be honest, marketers.
Bathing in pennies, bitches.
There's a chance we could lose all our money. Just say, we can make a lot of money, but we could also lose all your money. Just, there you go, sign on the line.
Yeah,
like, we should just be doing honest marketing.
I don't think that works. So, you know, you're selling it to a state. You're selling it to a guy who's got to pay $1 million for a license. You better be gung-ho.
You got to be excited.
It's so silly to me. But I also, you know, like, I feel bad for that situation, because if they would have just normalized it in a different way and not made the hubbub and not made access to licenses so ridiculous, I don't think we'd have the same conversation, because I don't think the barrier of entry would have cost that much compared to it. And we probably would have had a more democratized version of what we're seeing. I mean, again, if you could have a smoke shop do it or a gas station do it, as opposed to Mr. Million Dollar Man who has to have a special license and a drive-through window with gated things and 19 volts and door thresholds that you got to walk to get to the safe and all these other stipulations, I just don't think. I think, obviously, they're now forced to make a lot more to cover that shit. And that's a silly premise if you want a successful industry.
It's interesting what's going to happen. It's weird. It's the same problem. The hemp derive is the same problem. This is the same. It's all about having these weird illegalities and sort of legal aspects of the plant, which has created a lot of problems. In the end of the day, though, I just don't know if people care. I don't know if the consumers care to solve them. I think that's the problem. All these problems are being worked out amongst all the other people internally.
You know who still cares? Employers. You know, like, it's such a weird, it's just, the whole industry is fucking weird to me, man. It's so weird how we will allow hemp derived and THCA, Delta 8, and all this other shit, you know, like, come into play. But I'm still, and it's democratized in that way where I can go to a gas station and get my shit now, or I can be 16 years old and go buy from the thing because there's no law that says I can't. And yet employers are still gung-ho about drug testing, or gung-ho about, that's, you enter into their organization, we're going to drug test you for cannabis. And it seems so backwards in so many ways. It's super silly. What is something good that happened in cannabis this week? What is something that we can end this on that we're, like, not shitting on the whole industry?
Maybe that's our shtick. Maybe that's what gets us. That's how we're good, that Pulitzer Prize, that audio press, whatever it's called, prize there, or something
deep in
like
the
that.
Underground Chicago.
BC and Dustin go underground at a hemp-derived facility.
I would just smoke so much hemp-derived, you'd never see me. I'd be like, oh, this is awesome. We know what it's like.
We help myself. I'm going to go into the hemp-derived shower.
Yeah, we've overindulged on Delta 8 before. We know what that's like.
And you know what? Shout out to my boys in Ohio who are doing it right.
All of them. We love you. I think maybe we're stressed out, Dustin. Maybe we just are like tense and we're a little like frustrated. We need to like expand or expel this like pent up frustration.
We get to laugh. It's actually us laughing at the ludicrous nature of it. And that's funny. Like, we're obviously laughing. Like, can you believe this shit? Like, I can't even believe. Infused teas, first one that opens. And we're like,
it is stupid.
Thanks for jacking off on my fucking feed page there.
article got so much love on Facebook.
It's amazing.
Maybe we need to worry about this industry less, Dustin. And maybe we just need to hit the gym, bro. We got to get ourselves a Planet Fitness membership, get in the parking lot, pound ourselves a 50 milligram chocolate and just see what happens. A study came out from Colorado. No shocking news there from the University of Colorado Boulder here. A new article just came out. Cannabis can make workouts more fun. But it is no performance enhancement.
What a subjective thing as it is. Like, who defines fun? I want you to show me the fun graph that is strategically funded by the National Health Association.
Well, you're like, here you go. I was
at the frown face or like
barbell presses, not fun. Weed in me, so much more fun. Like, that's what I picture. That's what I picture the study. Like, all right, here you go. I need you to do 10 burpees. And you're like, one, two. And they're like, all right. Now, you take this nano emulsified like chocolate, you take 100 milligrams, you're super high. Now do 10 burpees. And you're like, well, of course it's more fun because he just did it. Like, why? That's more fun. But I like the second part of this article because this is the other debate that happens right now. As cannabis becomes more legal across the country, more and more like professional sport teams and stuff are legalizing it for players to use. And there's this debate every time of, is it a performance enhancer? And whenever this debate breaks out, there's always, you know, if you banned weed, like, you know, the X Games metal scores would go way down, right? Because those bros couldn't be doing sick flips in the air without
the balls to go 200 feet into the air, you know? Like, so, I don't even that without a little bit of shit.
But it is a big market to look at as far as advertising going forward. Is the people, we're not talking, and when people read these headlines, the inevitable meme or joke is someone like running a marathon with like a, you know, a big hog leg hanging out their mouth at the same time. That's not what's happening, folks. They're not smoking doobie. It's more edibles, tinctures, small micro dose things or even larger dosage, but usually in consumable forms that aren't having a negative impact on the lung stuff, right? So you can, once again, smoke weed without smoking weed all the time. So we saw that article there in ultra marathon running is where it's very popular. It's popular in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and other mixed martial arts. Hell, there are NBA players who say they smoke joints all the time before games still. So it can boost the motivation. It can make exercise more enjoyable. But a performance is your goal. They still can't stop a good pun. Maybe best to skip that joint. So they did a bunch of runners. And basically, this article talks about two things. It talks about knowing the type of cannabis you're consuming, because there is a thing about having too much or having too much types of indica-based ones. Like, you want some beta-carotene, you want some other terpenes that are going to have that upper, the small dosage, but it does create, according to them, basically an artificial runner's high. Like, you get in that mode a little bit.
Well,
so
that makes sense. I mean, you get literally cannabinoids released during your runner's high without smoking cannabis. So why are we so like, holy shit, wow, it's like, you know, it just makes perfect sense to actually just smoke cannabis before you're running. Like, it is the brain. It's associated in the same ways already. But I do love the not a performance enhancer. I mean, like,
I like that they made him wear a safety belt on the treadmill just in case you're a little too high. Oh, you run on a treadmill. Hold on, just in case you're a little high. We don't want you to live off
the treadmill. I just can't wait to see the next round of college games where all the players are just laughing at the side of the court and really enjoying their fun game. Like, I just can't. I don't know, man. I think we love we love putting out articles like this. Like, we really, it's amazing how far these studies go. Or
I'd love it. I love it. I know what I'm going to do before my walk today. The same thing I do before I do everything.
Yeah, like, it does make a walk better for that. It's an interesting debate. That's what happens. I do agree. I don't think it's a performance enhancing. However, there's probably an argument to be made. Let's say you take two, we'll use runners. Who
I bet you would enhance our show if you were listening to it.
It would enhance our show greatly if you were if you had some of that quality hemp-derived, cannabis-derived, I don't care what you're smoking, mushrooms, just drive SD.
It. Just don't drive while doing it.
Never drive while intoxicated. That is against the law. You know what happens if you break the law? You tell them where you heard it, and we'll send you a free t-shirt as Cannabis Podcast. I would say if you have two people who are competing, and one of them took a 10 milligram gummy like 20 minutes, 30 minutes before, and they're starting about the same time, there's a argument that could be made that the person under the cannabis has a bit of a advantage to start because their brain's already tricked into relaxation. And so maybe their muscles are more relaxed early on until they can get the artificial.
I don't know. Shit makes me tired. So I know if I smoke before a marathon halfway through, I'm going to be like, this is, I don't need this anymore. I'm just,
I love the thought of maybe that's what we need, Dustin. We need to, oh my God. God. We need to, you want to talk? We need, you know what this show needs to win a Pulitzer Prize, Dustin? Bring this full circle. A good old fashioned publicity stunt. There are some 5Ks in such in this area. We need to, for science, smoke big joints while running 5Ks throughout some city. We got to pick a cool city that's down. We just get big old hog legs in our mouth, smoke them like we got it the entire race.
I'm going to make sure I fill up a 5-foot volcano bag, and I'm just going to tie it to a string and carry it along with me. You know,
one of those balloons they wear in their belts. Exactly. If you ever want to race like a 10K, they'll always be like pace runners, and sometimes they tie like helium balloons to their belt. And it'll have like a number on it, like the 9 minute in the 10:30. So this way they don't have to carry a sign. This shows you, hey, if you want to run at a 10:30 pace, or this is the dude or the lady you got to run with the whole time. We're just going to have big old balloon bags. We'll just, like those camel backpacks that they bring in. Ours going to be like, if we're just going to be like, yeah,
I wouldn't mind doing that. I'll do that one.
All right. That's what we're doing, folks. Going to get ourselves a good old-fashioned publicity stunt, see if we can pull that off on the air. I don't know. Maybe we'll live stream it. Who knows what will happen. Hey, Dustin, thanks for hanging out on the show. Been a good show catching up on some of the headlines in the area. Be sure to give us a subscription. Lots of great shows. Lots of wonderful interviews coming up here on the Because Cannabis Podcast. Tell a friend. Tell a few friends. Tell
strangers. Please subscribe. We're almost to 700. Thanks to you guys.
Getting there. Have a great week, everyone. Smoke them if you got them, as always. Catch you guys next week.
Later. I'm going to smoke one.
Right now. It's
big one.
Hog legs.